Amen. Thank you, Josh and Scott, for leading us in that time of worship. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Antioch. How are y'all doing today? Everyone good? Everyone who's excited for the warmer weather? Yes, I know we are. Amen. Yep. God is good, right? Amen. God is good. God is good. Hey, welcome to those of you who call Antioch home. Those of you who are visiting with us today, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here today. And a special hello to those of you who are watching online. Also, if there are, want to go ahead and dismiss our kids class. I know a lot of them are already there, but if there are any kids who still need to go ahead and get dismissed, Miss Anna is waiting for you. Your lesson is prepared. We are excited for that. So our kids can go ahead and get dismissed to kids class. Church. So I've been thinking a lot about this week, and I need to confess something to you. So I have a problem, and I've had this problem for a long time. In fact, as I was thinking about it this week, I've dealt with this issue for most of my life now. There's no easy way to say this, so I'm just going to say it. I have a problem with complaining. In fact, I complain about a lot of things. I complain about the weather. I complain about, that was supposed to be like a kind of a joke part there. Like that was like a tension build up to where it's like, okay, that's what it is. That's where you're supposed to go, oh, okay, he's just complaining. But no, I have a problem with complaining. I complain about the weather. I complain about traffic. I complain about everything. And I may be wrong, but my hunch is that I'm not the only one in here who can admit that they have a tendency to complain. And I say this because complaining is a natural human tendency that we all have. Whenever things don't go our way, or whenever we don't like something or we don't approve of something, what do? We complain, right? Like we complain. And many times what I've found is that we would rather complain than actually help be a part of the solution. We'd rather complain about something than actually help find the answer to the problem that we're complaining about. And here's what's interesting. People throughout history, including God's people, have complained about pretty much everything under the sun. Even though we follow God, we can still find ourselves falling into the complaining trap, where we just complain about everything. Even though we complain to believe that God is in control, we can still complain when things don't go our way. And this is what we're going to see in our passage today. God's people are once again complaining. But I think our passage is going to really emphasize to us today, and this is the main point of today's passage. Complaining is more than just the words you say or the thoughts you think. It's a matter of your heart. Let me say that again. Complaining is more than just the words you say or the thoughts you think. It's a matter of your heart. It's a matter of our heart. And so before we jump into our passage today, I want to make two points of clarification today. Number one, I think there's a difference between pouring out your heart to God and complaining. I think there's a difference between pouring out your heart to God and complaining, and it all has to do with where your heart is focused. When you're pouring out your heart to God, you're aware of the problem, but you're not focused on it. You're focused on God, and you're reminding yourself of your need for His provision, your dependency on Him, on your dependency on Him, and that He can take care of any situation that you face. So you're focused on God. When you're complaining, you're not focused on God, you're focused on yourself. and how you want the problem to go away. So the difference between pouring out your heart to God and complaining doesn't have anything to do with the problem. It has to do with your heart towards the problem. And I wanted to say that at the beginning because some of you in here are really dealing with some really difficult, painful situations. And I've seen you, I've talked with you on the phone, I've chatted with you in person. You're walking through a difficult time and you're not complaining. You're pouring out your heart to God. But in our passage today, the Israelites, they're not pouring out their heart to God. They're focused on the problem. They're complaining. And before we jump in, the second thing, I want to clarify this. You can complain and never actually like say it. You can never actually verbalize it. You can like complain in your mind, but it's still complaining nonetheless. So just because you never actually say what you're complaining about, God still knows what we're thinking. And he can still tell, they're complaining again. So it's still complaining nonetheless. So don't think just because you never say a complaining word doesn't mean you don't think a complaining thought. Amen? So with that, as by way of an introduction, if you would, please stand with me as we read Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders in Israel, and he called the place Massah in Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the convicting word of God. You may be seated. They tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Sometimes God will lead us into situations that, if we're honest, we would rather not be in. I start off with this because I think it's in these times when things are not how we would like them that we are most prone to complain. Think about it. When things are going well in your life, when things are going well with your family, on your job, things like that, we don't really complain as much because we like how things are going. But let things start to get tough. Even the most like minor inconvenience in your life. And that's when the complaints just start flying. But whether we like it or not, the truth remains that God will often lead us into these situations, or he will allow them to come into our lives. So this is what happens for the nation of Israel. God leads them to a place called Rephidim. I'm going to put a picture up of Rephidim here. Rephidim is a place that they would rather not be in. In fact, Rephidim is a place that no one wants to be in. Because in Rephidim, there's no water to drink. It's a dry desert with nothing but rocks. And rocks and rocks, as far as the eye can see. But we have to remember that this place with no water, this place, this is where God led his children. So it's not like they were traveling and they knew where they were going and they like took a wrong turn accidentally, they stumbled upon Rephidim. No, God led them. Think about this. God led them to a place where there was no water. So just because things get tough in your life doesn't necessarily mean you're outside of the will of God. Maybe things may be tough right now, and you may be exactly where God wants you to be. Exactly where he has led you. Because what happens is we often forget this, and all we focus on is what's not going right, what I would change, what I would like to be different, and we sometimes forget, hey, maybe God led me here. Maybe I'm right where God wants me to be. But when that happens, what do we often do? We start complaining. And this is exactly what the Israelites do. Look what happens. They get to this desert. They get to Rephidim. And as soon as they realize there's no water, they turn to Moses and they demand that he give them water to drink. This is what you would call a bad spiritual habit. Where they have a problem, where we have a problem, and instead of praying and trusting God with the problem, we start complaining to others. So we've seen this before, and we'll see it again, where they've developed this bad habit of complaining to Moses about their problems. So notice, they demand that he give them water. And sure, Moses is the God-appointed leader of the people, but Moses isn't God. Moses isn't God. Moses himself, Moses can't like make water come. Moses can't do that. And so instead of them demanding that Moses give them water, they should have like turned their attention to the one who can give them water, which is God, and pray that he will give them water. So this example, what they're doing here by complaining and demanding that Moses gives them water, it shows us something. It shows that we can like start to like complain to other people and demand that they do stuff that only God can do. So how does this look in our lives? Well, we have to remember that there are certain things that only God can do. Certain mountains he can move, certain doors he can open, certain miracles he can only think. There are certain things in your life that only God can do. But what often happens is when things are not going right, we complain and we look to others to give us what only God can provide. So I want my spouse to give me peace. Well, guess what? Only God can bring peace into your life. I want my kids to bring me joy. Well, only God can bring joy into your life. I want my job to give me fulfillment. Well, only God can give you fulfillment. I want my parents to give me a sense of identity. Your identity is not found in your parents. Your identity is found in God. I want this relationship to make me happy. Only God can bring happiness. I want this church to be perfect and never have any flaws, never have any mistakes. Only God is perfect. So just like they're demanding Moses to bring them water, we can start like demanding things of people that they can't do. And then what happens? Then we start complaining when they don't do it. Well, they can't do it because they're not God. And I think a lot of our complaining in life would cease to exist if we began looking to God and stop looking to people. So you have to ask yourself, and I want you to ask yourself this question. In what ways might I be expecting people to provide what only God can provide? Like, in what ways am I expecting, like, my spouse to do something that only God can do? In what ways am I expecting my kids or my supervisor or my parents? Like, we got to get to this point where we stop expecting people to do and to bring in our life what only God could do, because then we start complaining because we're holding people to this standard that they could never meet. So we got to understand, like, all of this complaining in our lives. Like, I thought about this even this week when I was like, okay, I'll confess. I was complaining about some stuff in my kids. And I'm like, okay, my kids can't bring me peace. God can, but I cannot expect my kids to always bring me peace. Like, and I think we do that. Oh, that's what they're doing with Moses. They're putting on him this pressure that he can't do. We got to stop putting pressure on people to do stuff that only God can do. So in what ways are you expecting people to provide what only God can provide? And then ask yourself, how much of my complaining is the result of that? Is the result of these like misplaced expectations that I have on other people? So they complain to Moses, and look how Moses responds to them. Moses asked them a very important question. Look what he says. Why do you put the Lord to the test? Now, there's two different meanings of the word test in the Bible. One positive and one negative. The positive one is the Hebrew word bashan, and it means to examine something closely. So interestingly, this use of this word only shows up one time, Malachi 3:10. I'm going to put this on the screen, where God tells his people, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And look what he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So this is bashan. This is like the examining kind of, you're still open-hearted, you're still open-minded. This is the acceptable, positive kind of testing. The negative use of the word test is the Hebrew word nasa, rooted, and it's rooted in like in doubt, and it carries this sense of doubting that who God is, and doubting who he is, doubting that what he says he can do, and doubting like his providence and his sovereignty, and it wants to try to make God prove who he is. So God says, I can do this, God says, I can provide, and this use of the word is kind of comes at it from a negative, doubtful sense. It's like you're forcing God to prove his goodness. You're putting God to the test. So we see this use of the word in the wilderness temptation. When Satan tries to tempt Jesus, Jesus responds with, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That's what it means. You're like, you're doubting who I am. You're making me prove it. Like, I don't believe you, Jesus. Like, I don't think you can actually do what you said you can do. So you're going to have to prove it. This is what the Israelites are doing in our passage. This is the mindset that they have. This is what Moses is warning them that they're doing. By them complaining, they're nasaing. They're testing God by doubting his power to provide water for them, even though they don't see any water. And this is why we have to take our complaining seriously, church. This is why we have to get this under control, because we have to understand, like I said before, our complaining is more than just the words we say or the thoughts we think. No, it goes to a deeper level of not just complaining, but doubting the power of God to work in a situation, doubting the power of God to work in your life. Think about it. If all I do is complain about my kids, then eventually like my heart can cross the line into Nasa. And I'm starting to doubt God's power to work into my kid's life. Or if all I do is complain about my job, I can start to like lose focus on the fact that God has given me this job and he's blessed me with this job and he can provide me with this job. And I start to like complain and I move into like Nasa, and where I'm starting to like doubt that God can do things in my job. If all I do is complain about church, praise God, none of you ever do this. But I've talked to some other pastors, and at their church, they say like if all people ever do is like complain about church, and all you do is complain, then eventually like your heart can like shift from like you're no longer like expecting God and hoping God and having faith in God. And because of all this complaining that you've been doing, like your heart is now starting to shift from Bashan to Nasa, where you're starting to like get into this area where you're starting to like lose sight of God. You're doubting God. You're putting God to the test. If all I do is like complain about my spouse or my neighbors or my parents or my kids' teachers or the house that I live in or how much money I don't have or the car I don't have or the whatever I do, eventually I lose sight of the fact that God can provide in those situations. And I just start doubting. So I'll say it again. Church, hear me clearly on this. Hear me clearly. Complaining is more than just the thoughts you think or the words you say. It's a matter of the heart. So here's what I want us to do. I want to challenge you on this. Later today or tomorrow or whenever, you're gonna be tempted to complain about something. Sooner rather than later, you're probably going to be tempted to complain about something. When you feel that temptation to complain rising up in your spirit, I want you to take a moment and I want you to pray about it. And I want you to turn your complaint into a prayer. Turn your complaint into a prayer. So this is what Moses is trying to do. He's trying to get them like to take their eyes off the problem. Guys, like stop complaining. You've seen what God can do. Stop looking at the problem and shift your focus to God. But notice, they miss that. They miss the lesson that Moses is trying to get to them. Look what they say back to Moses. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt, Moses? To make us and our children and our livestock like die of thirst? Is this the only reason you brought us out of Egypt? And so here's what's interesting. When they were in Egypt, they cried out to the Lord and they begged him to deliver them from Egypt. And now that he's delivered them out of Egypt, what do? They complain about life outside of Egypt. The exact place where they complained about getting out of. When they were in Egypt, like life was hard for them. They were oppressed. And they were mistreated. And they wanted nothing more. Their heart's desire was to get us out of Egypt. Let's take a flashback to what life was like for them in Egypt. I'll put this up. Listen to this. The Lord said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So life was hard, and God answers their prayers. And his goodness, he delivers them out of bondage. And then what happens? They run into one obstacle, and then they start complaining. This is what it means to put the Lord to the test. This is how we put the Lord to the test. We've seen his powerful hand, and yet we doubt and we complain as if we haven't seen his hand. To complain and to doubt him, despite knowing what he's capable of doing and what we've seen him do, they've seen him deliver them out of Egypt in a way that no one could have. And now they complain about not having water. And again, it's not about the water. It's not about having water. It's about them complaining as if God could not give them water. If they had just prayed about it instead of complaining, they wouldn't have gotten in trouble with God and with Moses. So the lack of water only reveals what's already in their heart. The lack of water reveals what's going on inside of them. The lack of water, think about this, the lack of water, it really isn't about a lack of water. It's about a lack of trust. It's not about a lack of water. It's about a lack of trust. And I think the same is true for myself, at least, when I thought about this. Our lack of something, when I want something that I don't have, or things are not going the way, it's really not about that thing, right? Like, it's really not about that thing. It's about my lack of trusting God to provide that thing. So whatever I'm complaining about, the heart of the matter, like, this isn't really what it's about. It's about I'm not trusting God to help me with this. Because what we often do is we start complaining, and then that reveals it brings to surface what's going on inside of your heart. And God will like do that. He'll like put us in situations and seasons and different times in our life to reveal what's in our heart. So it's not about the thing you're complaining about, it's your lack of trust in God in the thing that we're complaining about. So here's my next challenge. Write this down. If you like, sorry. the next time you complain about something, after you found yourself complaining about something, I want you to take a moment. I want you to think. What does this thing that I'm complaining about reveal about what's going on inside of me? Like, this thing, this person, this situation, this circumstance, whatever it is, what does this thing reveal about what's going on inside of me? And if we're honest with ourselves, church, oftentimes it'll boil down to one of two things. Either I'm lacking trust in God, or I've forgotten that God can provide. I'm lacking trust in God, or I've forgotten that God can provide. So in his grace, God does it. Despite their complaining, he provides them with water. He has Moses go out in front of the people. He takes his staff, he strikes the rock, and water comes like gushing out. Water comes flowing. And not just a few drops, but enough for the entire community to drink. And so I read that passage, and I thought about this passage over and over. I think this shows us that, like, God, praise God, God is good even when we don't deserve it, right? Like, even when we complain and we gripe and we forget about everything he's done for us in the past, what does he do? He still provides for us. Is there anyone in here today that can say, thank you, Jesus, that you still provide for me even when I don't deserve it? Because, like they complain. And God gives them not just a few drops, but enough for all of them to drink. So this reminds me of the verse in 2 Timothy that says this: if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, when you think about this, what God could have done was said, I am so tired of their complaining, I'm not going to give them any more water. But he doesn't do that. He didn't do it to them. Praise God, he doesn't do that to us. Like God is good even through your complaining. God is good even through your forgetfulness for what he's done for you in the past. Like, his goodness, like, your complaining doesn't, like, stop God's goodness. We had our elder meeting the other day, and Joel was talking about how, like, we have to remember what God does, and everything is based on who he is. And God is good. So, like, you complain and stuff, that's not going to stop God from being good. But notice what Moses does after God gives them water. He doesn't let them off the hook this easily. No. Moses wants them to, he wants them to remember this moment when they complained and questioned and Nasad. So he gives this place two names, Massah and Meribah. Massah means testing. Meribah means quarreling. So he does this. He gives this place two names, not to try to shame them or to make them feel bad, but so that they can remember this day. The day that God brought them to this place where they didn't see how things were going to work out. They didn't see any water, but they can remember the day that God brought water from a rock. And then they were supposed to, like, use this moment, store it in their memory, and then use it to never question or doubt or complain to God ever again. This was supposed to be like a pivotal moment in their spiritual lives when they grow up in their faith and they say, you know, it was here where we stopped complaining. Why did you stop complaining? Because we saw God bring water from a rock. And if he can bring water from a rock, he can do anything. So despite what I may be facing today, we're never going to complain again because we know what God to do. This was supposed to be a pivotal moment in their life. Like we talk about here at Antioch, they're growing up into mature followers of Jesus. So Moses wants them to get out of this complaining mindset. Because as long as they were in this complaining mindset, look at the last verse. This is dangerous territory where they are. Look what it says. This is the thought that they're thinking. Is the Lord among us or not? This is a question we never want to find ourselves asking. And listen, I thought about that. Is the Lord among us or not? We may not ever like verbally say that. You may not ever say, is God with me or not? Is the Lord with me or not? But I do think the essence of that verse, the essence of that question is something we can like exude or convey whenever we complain about how things are in our lives, instead of trusting God, we can find ourselves like asking this question in our spirit and complaining through our doubts. We can find ourselves in this season where we're like, is the Lord among us or not? You don't say it, but by your complaining and by your doubting, you sure are exuding it. And here's the sad part. As much as they see God provide for them, they continue to have these seasons of doubt and complaining and this like lack of trust in God. And because of that, they end up like wandering in the wilderness where many of them spend the rest of their lives. And then about 40 years later, in the book of Numbers, almost all of the people from this passage today have all passed away. And a new generation of Israelites are on the scene. And they're wandering in another desert. And guess what happens to them? So this is a new generation now. The exact same thing that happened to their parents. The same thing that happened to their ancestors. They come to a place where there's no water. And what do they do? The exact same thing that their parents did, that their ancestors did. They complain to Moses. Look what they say. Now, keep in mind, this is 40 years later. This is a new generation. Now, there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled together themselves against Moses and Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, and the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had been perished when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring this evil place? Is it no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates? And there is no water to drink. So the new generation is doing the exact same thing that their ancestors did. And this time, like God tells Moses to speak to the rock. But in his anger, Moses, like, he strikes the rock twice. And because of his disobedience, Moses isn't allowed to enter the promised land. But I thought more about this verse. And I thought about how the children, think about this, the next generation did the exact same thing that their ancestors did. They complained instead of trusting God. Church, I think one of the best things we can model for our children is a spirit that doesn't complain. A spirit that trusts God. I mean, think about this. They face the exact same problem that their ancestors did, and they do the exact same thing. We can model for our children what it means to trust God instead of complain, because we have to remember the younger generation, the next generation, they're watching us. They're watching how we live. They're watching how we handle situations. They're watching how you face a tough situation. They're watching how you walk through hard times in life. Even though we may not always realize it, the younger generation, they're watching you. They're watching me. They're watching us. How you walk, how you handle your tough situation today, our kids are watching and they're taking note. And one of the best things we can give them is modeling how to trust instead of complain. Amen. So here's what I want to do as we close. I want everyone to come up here and confess what they complain about. No, I'm just kidding, just kidding. I just want to just get in small groups for the next like minute. Just the people around you. You don't have to confess what you complain about. If you want to, you can. But this is what I want us to do. I want us to pray over each other that we will be people who trust God instead of complaining. So let's just take a moment just to do that. Just with the people around you, just get together. Just pray over each other because it can be really easy to just fall into the complaining trap, right? Even though we are followers of Jesus, we can find ourselves doing nothing but complaining every time we fall into a difficult situation. I do it all the time. Let's pray over each other because here's the truth. We cannot escape the complaining trap by ourselves. We cannot do this by ourselves. By ourselves, all we'll do is complain, complain, complain. But Jesus can help us. And we need the help of Jesus. So just like get together and just for the next minute, just pray over each other that we trust God instead of complaining. Then I'll come back and close us with a word of prayer. Father, for some here today, they're walking through a very difficult season. And they're pouring out their heart to you. They're trusting you. They're relying on you. They're relying on your strength. They're relying on your provision. Continue to give them strength, Jesus. Help them. But then for some of us in here today, we've just fallen into the complaining trap. And instead of trusting you, instead of looking back and seeing what you've done in the past and relying on that, all we do is complain. Every time a difficult situation comes into our life, every time a minor inconvenience comes into our life, even as followers of Jesus, we still can just complain about this and complain about that. Father, your word today has shown us the dangers of complaining. It's more than just what we say. It can be a matter of our heart. And oftentimes when we're complaining, it's not about the thing we're complaining about. It's about we're just not trusting in you, Jesus. So we want to repent of that today, Jesus. We want to repent of our complaining spirit, where it just seems like all we do is just gripe and complain about everything. And we want to just be people today that stand on who you are and your goodness. And even when we face something, even if we walk out the door today and we face a difficult situation, we can rely on you because of what you've done in the past and your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Jesus, as we saw in our passage today, that even when we complain, that doesn't stop your goodness. You continue to pour out water to us. You continue to give us blessings, even when sometimes we're so busy complaining that we don't even realize you just blessed us with something. Take the blinders off of our eyes today, Jesus, as a church, in our marriages, in our parenting, on our jobs. Help us to not complain. Help us to see you, Jesus. It's not about the thing we're complaining about. It's not about a lack of water. It's about a lack of trust. We want to be people who are filled with your joy. Help us to not like look to other people to provide what only you can provide. We look to other people to provide peace and joy and fulfillment. That only comes from you, Jesus. But then we complain to other people when they can't do those things that only you can do. Help us to not do that, Jesus. We want to walk in your freedom today. Antioch Community Church wants to be a church of people who trust God instead of complaining. We thank you for your goodness and that you continue to pour out onto us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.